serious. Page 448, Pasuk Bei Shimu Amim Kulam Hakshivi Aretz Maloya. Listen. Okay, there are two words here that are being used in this pasuk: the word shimi, shimu, to listen, shimia, and the word hakshivu. Hakshivu means to hearken. Which word, what are the differences between these two words? One word means nearby, and one word means at a distance. Okay, we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We do not say hakshivu, hearken. We, in English, they translate these words differently. And, who made the English translation anyway? What are the difference between the word Shmiya and Hakshava? That's a very interesting question. So we see in the Mefarshim, some of the Mefarshim learn over here that it goes back to the previous pasuk. The previous pasuk says that Micha was giving over words of prophecy to two different nations, so to speak. To the Malchus of Yehuda and the Malchus of Yisrael. Well, who was local? Yehuda were the locals. And Yisrael were far away. He was not a citizen of the Malchus of Yisrael, but he was a Navi. So when he says the word Shimu, he's speaking to those nearby, those that he relates to, the Malchus of Yehuda. And when he says Hakshivu, he's speaking to those who are at a distance, speaking to the Malchus of Yisrael that are far away. I think the Malbum said, okay, we'll see. Okay, so let's see. Let's read the word inside. Shimu, I'm giving you a heads up on some of the nuances of this pasuk. Shimu amim kulam, listen to all the nations. Hakshivi eretz umiloya, listen to the earth and its fullness. Vihi Hashem Elokim bochem le'ed. May Hashem Elokim be bochem. May he be against you as a witness. Since when is Hashem a witness? Hashem is the judge. It's an insult to say that the Ribbono Shel Olam is the witness. Hashem is the judge. Okay, but yet here it says something very interesting, that Hashem is the witness. Hashem Meheichal Kodesho, this is like poetic, Hashem is serving as the witness from where? From his holy abode. Let's see the Mitzudos David. Pasik Beis. Shimu Amim Kulam Ritzon Leimar. When he says Ritzon Leimar, what does that mean to say? Kol Hashvatim Ki Kol Shevet Kori Am. Now, we had, the last time I remember having this idea is in the beginning of the Sefer Yirmiya, where there it says the word Goyim. And in Rashi, there's a Goyim, there means to Klal Yisrael are called Goyim. Today, the word Goyim, the way we use it in English, the way we use Goyim in English is, it means the Umois Ha'olam, anyone that's not a Jew. But other nations. But it's not necessarily the way, it's not always the way it's used in Tanakh. And here, in Sefer Yirmiya, there Rashi, there's a whole topic of discussion. What does it mean there when Yirmiya said the word Goyim? And there the simple understanding is, he's referring to Klal Yisrael, being that Klal Yisrael is made up of 12 Shevatim. Each Shevet is so unique, so distinct, they're called the Goy. So when Yirmiya says Goyim, he refers to the total sum of Klal Yisrael, the 12 Shevatim. Here is something very similar. It says nations, Amim. There's a difference, obviously, between the word Amim and Goyim, but that's not for now. I don't know what the difference is. But here, same exact idea that the Mitzvah stuff. It says, Amim over here refers to, he's only speaking to Klal Yisrael, and he's calling them nations because each Shevet is so distinct in its unique characteristics. It's called many nations. Ritzon Leimar, Kol Hashvatim, Kol Kikol Shevet Kori Am is called an Am. He says the word Ritzon Leimar. Yes, I was learning with someone, and he told me, and I said, we had a Rashi, and Rashi says Kloimar, and as I always say, Kloimar means the stop sign. You have to stop and pause. Rashi is going to tell you something that's not obvious. So he told me that his Rebbe, going back at least, not exaggerating, at least 50 years, told him that when Rashi says Kloimar, Kloimar is Rosh Tevois, is a new trick, is a composite of Kuloimar. It's completely bitter. What does that mean? It means that if you just look at the face value, the literal translation of the words of the Pasuk, of the Gemara, you're going to be very unsatisfied. You're going to walk away from the Gemara with a bitter taste. Kuloi mar. And therefore, we have no choice but to inject and embellish the text with interpretation that's not literal to the text in order to open it up and make it sweet. Okay, kloimar, so it's very, I never heard such a thing like that before. Kloimar is kuloimar. If you just look at it, you're going to walk away, you know, when you learn, you have to walk away satisfied. You put down in front of a person food, bitter food, moror, for supper, you're not going to walk away from the table very happy. You have to walk away with some dessert, sweetness. Okay, you walk away, there has to be sweet. If you just read this piece of Gemara and you go home, your mother will say, what did you learn today? Did you have a good day in yeshiva today? No, it was bitter. It was like we had moror today for shir. You have to walk home, go home and say to your mother, it was a delicious lesson today. And therefore Rashi has to come and be mazmir, inject into the Gemara Beyer to make the words of the Gemara sweet. Kloima, I never heard such a thing. Then he went on to tell me that as Rebbe would say, whenever Rashi says Kloimar, it also means Rashi is saying, you are in trouble. because obviously you have no clue what this means. And I have to come and help you. I'm going to come help you out. Whenever Rashi says a pshat, and then he says, v'yesh garsin, and some have another girsa, Rashi's saying, I am in trouble. Because if Rashi needs to tell us that there's another girsa, obviously there's something wrong with what I've just told you, and it's not fully satisfying to the pshat, and we have to give you an alternative girsa in order to make sense of what we're learning. So in Rashi's kolaymar, you're in trouble. And he says, V'yesh garsin, he is in trouble. I am in trouble. As Rebbe also said, and sometimes Tosfos says, V'im toimar. These are telling you things that he told me. His Rebbe told him at least 50 years ago, this is not a youngster, this guy. And he's telling me from a long, long ago. And he says, that when Rav Tosfos says, V'im toimar, and sometimes he says, Perish HaKuntras. So when Tosfos says, V'im toimar, so basically he's acknowledging Rashi is on the mark. Rashi is a genius. Rashi is telling you Dvarim of MS. But you know, there's a question, there's something to deal with. He's first giving cover to Rashi, and then he says, V'im toimar, he'll ask the following question, v'chulu v'chulu. Whenever Rashi begins with Perish HaKuntras, and then he goes on to say his own pshat, basically Tosfos is dismissing Rashi as it's not even worth what Rashi said. Is not even worth mentioning. Perish HaKuntras. The Kuntras says this, but I'm going to tell you the emes. So this Vim Toimar, he's giving validity. When it's Perish HaKuntras, Rashi seems to be more dismissive. All right, that's what he told me. Let's go weiter. Over here we have Ritzon Lema. Ritzon Lema always in the Mitzudos, always tell you it's very similar to what it says in Rashi Kiloimar. Kol Ashvatim ki kol shevet kori am umuloya habriyos hamamal lemaisa the whole world vihi leed she nibesi lechem b'shmoi vihisreisi b'chem. Okay, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a witness. Hashem is a witness to what I'm about to tell you. We'll see more in a few moments. Meichel Kotshoi Ritzon Lema min Hashemayim yabed lerois lihiyos eid. Hashem is watching. Hashem is a witness to observe what I'm telling you, what's happening right now. Kirashi pasik beis vihi bochem le'ed sheni beisi lochem b'shmoy v'hisreisi bochem. Rashi says that Hashem is a witness to what? Same thing as the mitzvahs. Hashem could be a witness to your actions, to your deeds, or Hashem could be a witness to something else. So Rashi says that when it says that Hashem is a witness, it means he's a witness to that you were warned. It's a very powerful musa. Many times when people are caught and they're guilty, they're caught and they're exposed, their first line of defense is, I didn't know that you're not allowed to do this. I didn't know that this is not the proper thing to do. No one ever told me. No one ever told me that you don't behave in such a manner, that's not the proper way to behave. That's always the first line of defense. Well, first line of defense is I didn't do it. Okay, I didn't do it. Okay, cover up, Watergate. Okay, cover up. And when the cover up doesn't work, then the next line of defense is, I didn't know. I didn't know that you're not allowed to do something like this. So here is exactly what Micha begins the Sefer with. It's very powerful. It's something that we would gloss over without appreciating. But he's saying, I'm giving you now, I'm about to give a whole Sefer. Micha is not an easy Sefer. It's a long Sefer. And he's about to give over some very powerful words of Musa. The first thing you have to know about a prophet is, don't ever come along one day and say that you were not warned. The whole essence of prophecy is, I'm giving you a message in the name of Hashem, and Hashem is a witness to the fact that you are now being warned. You now know better. Don't come along later in life, later in history, and say, we never knew. It's a lie. You do know Hashem is a witness that you are being warned. Powerful. It's a simple concept, but it's very powerful and it's very relevant for all of the words of the Nevi'im. Shani Besi Lochem Bishmoy Vihisresi Bochem, that I said over prophecy to you in his name, and I warned you, Hashem is a witness. Don't make believe it never happened. Radak Pasik Beis, Shimra Minkulam Amar Shimul Linoicheach. Okay, the Radak is coming to address this issue that we discussed. What are the two words, Shimu and Hakshivu? Shimu is Linoicheach. It means to the person himself. The Amar, and it says, the Amar Kulam, Shaloi Linoicheach. Now, he's not focusing on the word Hakshivu. Let's see. Shimu Amim Kulam. He's not even focusing. I tried to explain to you the word Hakshivu. Hakshivi. He's not even going there yet. He's first focusing on the word Shimu and the word Kulam. Shimu refers to those nearby, those that are within the area where they can hear what I say. Amar Shimu Linoicheach, those that are in front of his face. The Amar Kulam Shaloi Linoicheach. Kichein Minak Akosu B'mekoymos Rabim K'moy V'ulam Kulam Tashuvu Uvohu Na. All of you should do teshuvu, should return and come here. Okay, lekulam ulisar nechem, all of them and their leaders. Ki evoyishu mei elim asher chamadetem, because of their avodah zarah. V'chein amar michal ben yimla, it's a different michal. That's a very, just derech agav, side note, there are two michas. This gets a little confusing. There's the micha, the prophet here in the tray asar, and there's Michayahu. Michayahu is the same as Micha. Somehow we have a Chizkiyahu. Somehow the end letters, the end hey involves, even the beginning, they get appended, they fall off. Yeshayahu. What?
Like the ER of the Hungarians.
What do you mean? Give me an example.
They have ER to everyone's name.
At the end?
Yeah.
Weinberger. And that turned into Weinberg. Appeldorf-er, instead of Appeldorf. Levine-er, instead of Levine. I never heard that. Okay, but, okay. Okay. Some don't have the last, some Levines, they don't have the last E. I don't know why. So they turn into Levin, but when you speak to them, they pronounce their name Levine. The famous Rosh HaYeshivan Tells, who is Nifter this year, so his name is Rabbi Levine. He was a personality. He was a very big person. Yes, he is. Yes, he has a very big, a big family, and his name is Levine, from Chicago, Chicago. Chicago, Chicago, and they spent. Right, Mordechai Ephraim. I get his mail because his name is Ephraim Mordechai. Mordechai Ephraim, and we're both on East 19th Street, and he's I in the dead end. I'm I and J, so he gets my mail. I don't get his mail. Why is it a one-way street? I don't know. It is a one-way street. So I don't know why he gets my mail. I don't get his mail, but I get calls sometimes. People want to get into BYA. Mothers call me because he's the principal. He's the principal of BYA. So they call, they want to speak to, and I right away know they're not calling for me. They're calling for me right away in the second detect. After having one time, who are you calling for? They're calling a mother, a frantic mother, has a problem with her daughter. you got the wrong, looked up in the telephone book, somehow they found my number. And I said, you got the wrong Levine. Here is his number, call him. But any of that, how do they spell? They spell it without an E. L-E-V-I-N, but they pronounce it Levine. My great-grandfather, his name was Rav Aaron Levine, but in Poland, the way they spell Levine is L-E-W-I-N. So after the war, he was killed in the war, and his three of his children survived, and they came to America. They didn't get along, the three of the brothers. They were brothers, but they always, whatever one would say, they always said the opposite. So they could not decide what to do with their own name. Should they preserve the spelling, or should they preserve the pronunciation? Yeshem lemikra, yeshem lemesoris. Mesoris is the spelling, and yeshem lemikra. So my grandfather decided the ikor is the pronunciation. So he changed the spelling from L-E-W-I-N, the way it is spelled in Polish, to L-E-V-I-N-E, Levine. But my grandfather's brother, Kidargoy, said the opposite. So he preserved the spelling and sacrificed the pronunciation, so he turned into Lewin. Everyone heard of Nat Lewin.
Sure.
So Nat Lewin is my father's first cousin. That makes me, I don't know what it makes me, but it's my father's first cousin. I still don't know what that means to me. What does that mean? My first cousin once removed. That's what it means?
His son,
that's why his side of the family, they're all called Lewin. And then my grandfather had a twin brother who moved to Eretz Yisrael right away, and he was listed in the phone book as both. L-E-V-I-N-E and L-E-W-I-N.
But there's no Hebrew or Yiddish W. What? There's no W.
Vav, two Vavs. A Vav, one Vav.
His name is Perlow. They pronounce Perlow in Yiddish. Perlow. There's no W.
Okay. There's no W. Okay? My mother also wore Shavchik. Warsaw. So W, how do you say Warsaw in Yiddish? There's no W. So. What? Varsha. Right. The V. Varsha. Warsaw. W. Okay, so you tell me a chiddush, the on the ER, any event, there's a Michayahu, and there's a Micha, they're all the same. The name is really the same, but somehow the letters at the end get added. However, they're not the same person. There are two Michas. There's the Micha of Treyasar, and there's a Micha that appears in Sefer. Which Sefer is it? We're going to come across in Yeshaya. No, Malachim. Okay, we're going to have him every so often. There are mentions to him. Okay, so there are two Michas. This is Micha Hamayrashti. We're learning Sefer Micha Hamayrashti. Not to be confused with Micha ben Michayu ben Yimla. Okay, big difference. Whatever the difference is, but there's a difference between these two Michas. It was a popular name. Okay, let's go further. Shemu Amim Kulam Chenegi Yisrael Amar V'ribu Amim. That's sin we had before in the Mizutas Chenegi Hashvatim V'chen Amim Har Yikrohu Eretz Mloya Eretz Yisrael V'am Asher Ba V'amroy La'oretz Hakshivi Hu Derech Mashal She'amar U'Mloya. Okay, so you just sing. He's not really explaining. I don't know what he means. This repetition, learn for now, poetic repetition. V'Asher Elokim Mochem Lo Eid Ki Kavar Hisharti Eschem B'Shmei. Same thing as Rashi. I warned you. Let's see the Malbim. Quickly, the Malbim Pasuk Beis. Mishimu Amim Kulam. Mitzvah Lema Kol Hashvatim Vegam Hakshivu Leretz Mloya Klal Aretz. Klal Aretz Ki Mishem Mispashti Ara Al Kol Aretz. Kedus Veris V'Yashem Vachem L'Eid. Hashem Hu Amasha Bochem. Hashem is a witness. Hashem Masha Bochem. Mehechal Kotcha Ba Oideu Beheholoi. Terem Yetzei Mimukaimo Lishbar Es Aretz. Before Hashem comes to judge you. Okay, that's the basics. Now, just to clarify this idea, let's look at the Likutei Shas, the Mamori Chazal. The Mamori Chazal, Pasuk Beis, V'hi Hashem Elokim Bochem Le'ed. Okay, this is where I got it from, when I spoke about this very simple, but yet very, very deep idea. Moshe Heid Bohem B'Yisrael Shnei Edim Shem Kayamim Le'olam Ulyol Me'olam. Moshe Rabbeinu Moshe Rabbeinu, he appointed two witnesses. That should endure forever. Right, like Moshe also, two witnesses. Asher Ne'emar, Haydoisi v'chem hayomes ha-shamayim v'yes aretz. There is Shamayim and there is Aretz. These are the two witnesses. V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu heid bohem es ha-shira. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appointed a witness also. So Moshe appointed the Shamayim and the Aretz. Hashem is not the witness in this Maimur Chazal. Hashem is the judge. Hashem is the judge. So who then is the witness that will bear testimony against us? So in this Chazal it says the Shira. What is the Shira? The Torah HaKedosha. V'ata kisvu lechem es ha-shira hazois. The Torah is called the Shira. Shenemar v'ata kisvu lechem es ha-shira hazois. V'akadosh Baruch Hu hei b'chem es ha-shira. Hashem adjured. Is that the proper word? Hashem appointed the Shira
to...
What?
With a D. Adjured.
Adjured. Adjured. Thank you. Hashem appointed the Torah to serve as a witness. Hashem is not a witness. That's a bezoyin to say that Hashem is a witness. Hashem is the judge. Omar, Hashem said, Ashira to'id bohem milamata. But here, I don't take it back, but Hashem is saying, in addition, it was only one witness. So Hashem needs another witness. So Hashem says, you know what? I will be the second witness. I will be the second witness, because al pi shnayim edim yakum davar. You have to have two witnesses. That's the law. Vani milamala. Now over here, the Chazal say, can I say such a thing? Maybe to say is heresy. To say such a thing, to be mevazet, to say Hashem is a witness, it's degrading to us to say that the Ribbono Shel Olam is the witness. So the Medrash is challenging itself. Can you really say such a thing that Hashem can be a witness? Uminayin she'amakayim koru, don't say about me that I'm a heretic. I'm saying things of heresy, that Hashem is a witness. It's okay. Shedema. It's a pasuk in Malachi. And really, it's a pasuk over here. V'korafti aleichem la'mishpat v'hoyisi, I will be aid mimaher, a swift witness. So here, the pasuk indeed says that Hashem is a witness. V'oimer, another pasuk in Yeshai v'anochi, I ha-yodea v'oed, v'oimer v'yashem, here, another pasuk, v'yashem elokim bochem lo'ed. And finally, he winds down with the pasuk that we just learned in Micha, this Chazal. Here is another pasuk that says, indeed, the Ribbono Shel Olam is a witness. It's not degrading for Hashem to be a witness. So what do we take out of this Chazal? We take the Moshe Rabbeinu, he followed in the pattern of Hashem. Hazinu ha-shamayim v'haretz. Okay, and another pasuk, ha-yidayisi b'chem ha-yoymeis ha-shamayim v'haretz. The Shamayim and the Aretz are witnesses against Klal Yisrael. They endure forever. They'll always be able to testify our behavior, what happened in this world, because they've been around from time immemorial all the way to the end of the days. And just like there are two physical items that are witnesses, there are two spiritual items that are witnesses. And what are they? The Torah, as it says in the Pasuk, Hashem appointed the Torah to be a witness, the Shira, and the Ribbono Shel Olam himself also. Hashem is multifaceted. He's a shatran, he's a gibor, he's a zokin, he learns in Kailo, it says. He's like a child in a sandbox. He plays with the Leviathan for 3 hours every day, like a child, plays with a toy. And Hashem is the shofet, he's the judge. And you know what else he is? Hashem is a witness. Hashem, it's not beneath Hashem in order for him to come and stand, to come to be called to trial, and be paid as an expert witness in court.
He's also the executioner.
He's the executioner. Everything. Hashem, v'avarti be'eretz Mitzrayim ba'layla hazeh. Ani v'loi malach, ani v'loi shlech, ani v'loi saraf, ani v'loi achar. Hashem is the executioner. Ribbono Shel Olam is multifaceted. This was something which the goyim cannot deal with. Okay, here Hashem is a witness. Really, Hashem is a witness? Would a Christian ever say that God is a witness? Would a pagan, idolater, what?
Not even the witnesses would say that.
The expression, witnesses. God is my witness? Do you have that expression?
It's only in God.
God is my witness. Is such an expression?
Yeah.
It must come from this pasuk.
It's like a Shavuot.
Okay, but you're dealing with the idolaters in ancient times. They, one thing you learn over and over again is they limit. It's amazing how much, how they make their God into a non-God. God, a human being to some degree can walk the street and chew gum at the same time. Okay, most people can do that, right? Most people can walk down the street and chew gum.
Talk on the phone.
Politicians, maybe not. Michal, finally, I got a good response from Michal. Finally, it took a long time. Okay, but most people can, to a degree, can do two things at the same time. And the ancient idolaters were so, they thought so little of their gods. They thought so little of them. They had to specialize each one. This one can only do this. This God can only do this. This can only do this. It's amazing. It's amazing how arrogant these idolaters were to so severely limit every God to just his little teeny niche. Amazing.
Also, they degraded the gods very much as being like human beings, being Rodef and...
jealous, Balitaiva.
They made gods worse than them.
They made gods, yeah, that's right. It's remarkable.
The idea is, instead of raising yourself up to Hashem's level, you want
to lower yourself to them. You lower yourself down to their level. So you make an item that is so low, you limit it to such a degree, and the greatest degradation you can do to a god is to say that he can't chew gum and walk at the same time. And in essence, that's really what they do. Every god has its little teeny function, and that's it. And the Ribbono Shel Olam, Chazal, is totally opposite. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hashem does everything. Hashem is even a witness. He's not just a judge. You go into a courtroom, everyone has a role. There's a lawyer, there's a defendant, there's a prosecutor, there are judges, there's a jury. Hashem is everything. Hashem is the witness as well. It's an amazing, it's a very powerful idea. And Hashem says, I'm a witness. And Hashem says, you know what? I'll have another witness. Maybe you're not satisfied with only me alone. So you know what? I will designate the Torah HaKadosh to be my partner. Okay, so I have two witnesses. Two, it's an act of humility. That I'm not going to rely upon me. This is what we take out of this Chazal. It's a very, very important passage. And these two different ideas, like Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's not beneath to be a witness. And number two, the idea that we said is, don't ever say, the opening words of prophecy are to remind you, don't ever dare say you were not warned. Prophecy, by the definition of prophecy, means you were told, and no excuses. Pasuk Gimel. Ki anei Hashem yoytzei mimikoymoi viyorad vidorach al bomosei oretz. This continues the previous pasuk. Hashem starts out in his holy abode, meheichal kodshoi, and then Hashem, he leaves. Okay, that's a very fascinating idea in general, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is on the move. Hashem is mobile. Hashem, that's what we discussed this many times. Hashem has a kisei hakovoid, and Hashem has a merkava. Lahavdul elef alfei havdolos. The President of the United States, the seat of authority is the Oval Office. The Oval Office in America is the equivalent to the kisei, lahavdul elef alfei havdolos. But the president has Air Force One, has the Beast, has Marine One, and a lot of other stuff I don't know about. And he, in fact, probably has multiple, has at least two 747s. Two 747s for Air Force One, and how many helicopters do he have? Like, he has a whole fleet. Well, helicopters more. A fleet, 12. I think he has 12, even more. They're antiquated. They're still from the time of Nixon. The same image they have of Nixon putting up his fingers when he went out and they threw him out, it's the same exact helicopter that Trump flies in every single day. Could you imagine all these years? How many years has it been since then? Before my time. And he's still, they're still flying in the same helicopter They have not changed the helicopter because it costs too much money, too much taxpayer dollars, astronomical amount of money to replace the fleet of helicopters. We got to read these articles. Not believed. Why does it cost so much money for a helicopter?
Communication systems.
Not real what it costs. Not real. All right, but whatever it is, the Ribbono Shel Olam is kedai to appreciate this idea, has a Merkava and has a Kisei. Hashem has the Kisei HaKavod. That's when he's at home. In Shemayim, he's Yoshev al HaKisei, and he stretches out his feet on his footstool on the Hadoim Raglov. What's the Hadoim Raglov? This earth. Then Hashem at times goes traveling. He goes on vacation. And when he goes traveling, he gets into his Merkava, his chariot. So every time you look at a Nevuah, and you learn about a Nevuah, you have to ask yourself, wait a minute, is this Nevuah in the Geder, the category of the Kisei? And the Hadoim Raglov, Hashem is sitting on his throne and is extending his feet to his footstool, which means Hashem is at home at peace, or is Hashem on the move? Is Hashem in his Merkava? The Maisei Merkava. Yecheskel saw the Maisei Merkava. Why did he see the Merkava, not the Kisei? Because Yecheskel was in Bavel. That's not where Hashem resides. Hashem resides primarily in Eretz Yisrael. The Kisei HaKavod is in Shemayim corresponding to Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is the Hadoim Raglov, the footstool of Hashem's Kisei HaKavod. So if Hashem is appearing to Yechezkel in Bavel, and Yechezkel is seeing amazing things, it's nice not seeing the Kisei HaKavod in the Hadoim Raglov. He's seeing Hashem's Air Force One. He's seeing Hashem's Merkava. Yeshaya also had a vision. He didn't see the Merkava. Yeshaya saw the Kisei. Okay, because Yeshaya was in Eretz Yisrael. We only use the term Merkava, Maisa Merkava, in regard to Yechezkel, not in regard to Yeshaya. Because Yeshaya lived way before, in the time when the Beis Ham, everyone, there were no summer homes for Klal Yisrael and Bavel yet. They were living only in Eretz Yisrael, and he saw Maisei Elokim, the Kisei, and the Hadam Raglav.
Aren't the Avos considered the Merkava of Hashem?
Yes, very good. So that itself is
what
a whole...
What does that mean?
They bring Hashem to places where no man has gone before. They bring Hashem Shechina to parts of the world where Hashem was not appreciated before. So they make Hashem mobile. Hashem wasn't welcome. Hashem is, they expand Hashem by expanding. They're basically the emissaries. They are traveling salesmen of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they call them the Merkava. They allow Hashem to be mobile. Hashem is not only in Shemayim and Yerushalayim, the Hadoim Raglav. They mobilize Hashem. Let's go. Let's bring your Shechina to other parts of the world, or to parts of a person himself that he never realized has spirituality.
What? They brought Hashem all over the world. Right. No, I think it's a very great thing. It's a very, very great
absolutely,
thing.
Absolutely.
All these cities.
You bring an awareness. That was his, Lubavitcher Rebbe, that was his role. That's what he believed is to bring an awareness. An awareness of the Ribbono Shel Olam to the world. There are two different ways. There are two different ways. This is what I sure once said this. He opened up my mind. I never appreciated this until I heard him say this many years ago. Rabbi Avraham Shor, there are two ways to bring awareness of Hashem into this world. Two different mahalchim. One is to go out there to the world, pick yourself up and go out there, or Golos, Klal Yisrael and Golos, so we're out there. So when we're out there, the God, look at us, who are you? We represent the Ribbono Shel Olam. Who is that? Well, let me explain to you who he is. Watch us. Watch how we live. You'll know what Hashem is. That's one technique. The other technique is magnetism. If you are living in Yerushalayim, and you are so strong and so potent, you radiate. You give off an electrical impulse which serves as a magnet, and people on the other end of the world, they're pulled. Just like in science and physics, there's something called the magnetic pull. You have two magnets, and the stronger the magnet is, the more, the further it radiates, the further it can pull something towards it. If Klal Yisrael, I know the question is, if there was no Golos, if there was no Golos, Klal Yisrael was living in Yerushalayim, we never went to Golos, how in the world are the people in the North Pole going to know about the existence of God? How? The answer is magnetism. They're going to feel something. If Klal Yisrael is so powerful, so holy in their Mokoyim, going to pulsate. It's just going to cause an effect where the world Menela will be pulled in to Yerushalayim to see Hashem. Because we did not merit to live in Yerushalayim because we were not following Hashem's way, so therefore we lost our magnetic pull, our magic. And because we lost our magic, our magnetic pull, Menela we had no choice but to fall back on plan B to go out there, to become Shaluchim. Shaluchim of Hashem to spread Hashem throughout the entire world. All right, going further over here. So over here it is Kini Hashem Yotze. So we have over here two pesukim back to back. The first pasuk says Hashem calls out Meheichal Kodshoy. That's the kisei. Pasuk Gimel says at times Hashem moves. Hashem is mobile. Ki Hashem ki enei Hashem Yotze. He goes out. He goes out of his makoim, v'yorad v'dorach, and he goes down and he descends al b'mosei ores, on the high places of the earth. Let's see in the mitzvah of Pasuk Gimel. Now Micha begins to give over a message. These are my words. Do aki asher hine Hashem yetsim b'mokoimah mikisei harachamim. Hashem is leaving the kisei harachamim. The Yorad Misham Yeri Levi Yirmois is going to trample Al Bamosei Aretz Ritzon Lema Yashpil Haramim Vegasei Ruach. So here, not what I said, but he's saying something that Hashem over here is going to humble. The Bamosei Aretz is a metaphor for the arrogant. Hashem is going to smash and destroy the wicked people. Rashi, Pasuk Gimel, Yotzei Mekoymoi Mikisei Harachamim Likisei Hadin. Okay, and the other gears are midas rachamim lemidas hadin. Same idea. Hashem now, from pasuk beis to pasuk gimel, there's a transition. When Hashem is angry, he gets up from the kisei harachamim, and he now sits or he moves into a matzav of midas hadin. On Rosh Hashanah, it's just the opposite. When we blow shofar, what did Chazal say? When Hashem hears the shofar, Hashem gets up from the kisei of din, and he sits on the kisei of rachamim. Okay, the next words are vidorach. He tramples al bamosei aretz al haramim v'gasei ruchem on the arrogant. Okay, radak pasuk gimel ki nei Hashem yotzei b'mekoimah mashal l'gzeira hayotzei min lefanai ki ilu hu yotzei v'yom v'yodorech. It's a gzeira that goes forth Hashem, which goes forth and tramples al bamosei aretz v'chin amar b'shiras David. End of Sefer. There are two, by the way, there are two Shiras Davids. There's Shiras David where? In Tehillim. And Shiras David where? In end of Sefer Shemuel. Okay, the two. They're both exactly kemat the same thing. A few minor differences. The most famous is Magdil Yeshua Ismalkoi verse Migdol Yeshua Ismalkoi. Okay, so over here he's quoting from the same thing. Vayet Shemayim Vayerad V'chol Zehu Derech Mashal Al Churban Ha'aretz V'Hatzoros Ha'atzumos Ki'ilu Ha'arim Namasu V'skidimil V'amakim Yisparku. They're going to break open. V'chein Amar V'tig'ash It will quake. V'tir'ash Ha'aretz will roar, shake. U'mois Teharim Yirgazu. They will tremble. So everyone is saying so far Kemat the same thing. Hashem over here is coming now to punish the wicked. The Malbum, Pasuk Gimel, Kini Hashem Be'is HaBe'is Asher Hashem Yotzei Mekoyim V'Shezem Mamlitz Sheyilach Me'atzmer L'Hanish Be'is Be'Oinesh Hashkochiyi. Hashem is going to punish B'Hashkoch HaPratesh She'enek Maka Ayidei Shliach Rak Be'atzmer K'mo K'chatzis Halil Ani Yotzei B'Sech Mitzrayim. So the Malbum here is saying something a little bit more different. He's not just telling us the generic translation of the Pasuk that Hashem is going to punish the wicked. it's going to be a punishment behashkocha pratis to Hashem himself. Just like in Yitzias Mitzrayim, we have to be Eretz Mitzrayim ba'layla hazeh, Chazal Darshim, saying the Haggadah, ani v'loy malach, ani v'loy shliach, ani v'loy sodaf, ani hu v'loy acher, Hashem b'chvoido uva'atzmo is involved in punishing the wicked. It does not give it over to intermediaries. And that's the meaning over here is Hashem is yoytzei mimikoymoy. Further in the Malbom, v'yorad v'dorach abom esoretz mitzayer b'derech ha-hag-shama. Okay, we're trying to make the spiritual into gashmias. It's very hard to relate to esoteric spiritual matters, abstract matters. We have to make them into something we can relate to. So over here it talks about, the mighty mountains that we can relate to. Go for a drive up to the country, look at those mighty mountains, you get a, not so mighty those mountains, but you get a sense, you see some of these images, you get a sense that there's something out there. And that we can relate to as a marshal for the arrogant. They're also like these proud individuals who think that they are immune to any form of suffering. Hashem is going to stand first on these mighty mountains. Okay, let's now take a look at the Mamari Chazal, Pasuk Gimel. So here, this medrash is just the opposite of Rashi. How then can Rashi say the opposite of the medrash? Isn't it amazing? You get the feeling maybe there's a corruption in the text of Rashi over here, but over here it says over here this matter says that Kadosh Baruch Hu, this is a Yerushalmi in fact, that Hashem is yored from the mid of din, like we said when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, and he now enters into a matzav of rachamim. Okay, Eser now is a very beautiful Chazal.
Did Rashi have the Yerushalmi?
I don't know.
And if not, then
okay.
He's not contradicting.
Or there could be other midrashim. That's no secret to us.
Yeah.
Is that there midrashim chalukim?
It's
completely the opposite as Rashi. Rashi here is saying that Hashem is coming to punish the wicked. He's coming to punish the wicked, so Hashem is leaving the kisei of rachamim and is now sitting on the kisei of din.
So
the midrash on this pasuk. Rashi, you assume, did not have Yerushalmi?
Is it possible?
I don't know. It's not likely.
It's
not likely he didn't. It's not likely that the Rashi did not have a Yerushalmi because the Yerushalmi, when Rashi wrote his Perush, the Yerushalmi was long, long established.
But it may not have been available. Who knows?
Rashi, when he studied, one of Rashi's big, big things was Girsois. When you read about the history of Rashi, there's not all that much to learn about, to study the history of Rashi, a bio on Rashi. He was born in Troyes, France, and then when he got a little older, he went to Germany to study in the German yeshivas. The German yeshivas was the Spitz. That's where all the action took place, in Mainz and
in Alsace,
the Balei Tosis. And one of the reasons why that's where all the action was, because they had a library. There was no printing press in those days. So Sfarim were far and few in between. And they had basically these manuscripts. And as you know, when you write a manuscript, you get a little tired, you make mistakes. And they had there in Germany the largest collection of manuscripts anywhere in the world. So all of the biggest Talmidei Chacham, they went there to study the manuscripts, to study the Girsoy. See, today, we don't relate to this. Today, when we learn a Gemara, it's hard enough to break your teeth on knowing the Pshat and the Gemara. In those days, that wasn't the issue. They knew the Gemara, they knew the interpretation. They weren't necessarily into Pilpul. That came much later on. The big debate was, what is the correct Girsa? Because an extra letter or an extra word made all of the difference in what the Pshat is. Okay, that was like the big deal in learning. Oh, he has different Girsa, this Girsa, that Girsa. And to validate the correct Girsa, once you validate the correct Girsa, I can go back home. I don't need to be in this yeshiva. I know the Pshat. I have a tradition. I have Rebbeim who taught me the Pshat. It doesn't seem like today we struggle to know Pshat. Right? We struggle, Rashi and Tosfos. We struggle over. It doesn't appear that was the struggle. They were writing, the Tosfos were first being written then. That was the first time when they were coming to disagree the Pshat. The big issue is, well, what does it say? And the manuscripts were found where? In Germany. So if that's where all the manuscripts were found, and Rashi spent an enormous amount of time going through the manuscripts, validating and producing his own manuscript, which he held was the correct Girsa, L'choira, they had there the Yerushalmi also. That's where the manuscripts made it, and this is the beginning of the 12th century. Or the very end of the 11th century, and the Talmud Yerushalmi was already finished by the 6th century at the latest, probably before that. The 4th century was already completely finished. There's nothing more to do. They're totally finished. So, what are you going to say? They didn't get a manuscript from Yerushalayim to Germany in how many hundreds and in a few hundred years? All right, I hear what you're saying. So, why then doesn't he have a quote? You don't see him quoting the Yerushalmi. Obviously, that's not something you say something very interesting because, okay, we spent time 2 weeks ago learning about Yerushalmi. Okay, I want to go back and do some of that. I wanted to do today another shiur on that, but I left the sefer that I needed to prepare at home. So when I spent my time last night preparing in Beis Medrash for the shiur, I didn't have the actual sefer in hand, so I couldn't do it. But in that sefer, when they talk about Yerushalmi, Yerushalmi was something that a lot of the Rishonim struggled with as to how to use it. Some totally ignored it. Like, don't confuse me with the way in Yerushalayim they understand the Mishnayos. Don't confuse me. It's not the way we learn. It's noise. Later Rishonim, they had a different approach. They used the Yerushalmi as, they tried to synthesize the Bavli with the Yerushalmi. Or they tried to use the Yerushalmi as a tool to decipher the Bavli. There was a very big debate. He writes about this, Rabbi Tolodino. He writes about this, is what the Babylonians who continued to develop, they developed the Bavli for a very long time, later words. The Rishonim, okay, the people who developed the Bavli didn't know from Yerushalmi. That's clear. Those who developed the Bavli, they stayed away from the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalayim, I think it was a little bit, Rav went back and forth. There were people who went back and forth, but when they developed, they wrote the Bavli, they tried to keep out the influence of the Yerushalmi from the Talmud Bavli. The Rishonim, who later came to be Masbir, to explain the Bavli, and maybe even the Rabbanan Savaroi, the very, very end of the Goinim, I don't think the Goinim, I take that back, I don't think the Goinim, Rabbanan Savaroi, I think only the Rishonim, East Vengeance, they grappled with what is the role of the Yerushalmi relative to the Bavli. I don't remember who, maybe it was Rabbi Reina Hananel, it sticks in my mind, that the first Rishon that openly, worked with an approach that the Yerushalmi is basically a Perush Rashi on the Bavli was Rabbeinu Hananel. Rabbeinu Hananel, it wasn't a synthesis. It's, I'm giving you a Perush on the Bavli, but I don't understand what it says. So the only way I can understand what it says in the Bavli is going into the Yerushalmi, there it's explained a little bit differently. the way the words that are used there, like divrei Torah aniim b'mokim echad v'ashirim b'mokim acher. The Babylonians, when they wrote this passage, they messed up. They didn't give us a full hesber. They didn't explain it sufficiently. So I'm stuck. I don't really understand it. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to the equivalent passage in the Yerushalmi. And there, they wrote it with different words, and there's a different give and take, there's different nuances, and there it's much easier to understand. So then when I'll take what it says there, I'm going to assume that's exactly what it says over here. So he didn't really synthesize it, but he used the Yerushalmi as a perush for the Bavli. Now that was controversial. That was the approach of Ben Chananel. Oh, so that's the question. Who says that the Yerushalmi can be a perish for the Bavli? Maybe the Yerushalmi is completely opposite. It's totally irrelevant to anything that it says in the Bavli. Don't even go there. You're going to go there. You don't understand what it says in the Bavli. So now you have Yerushalmi, and it says something very interesting, very different. Something different, it explains a little bit more. So what? Whatever it says in the Yerushalmi has absolutely zero relevance to what it says. Relevance to what it says in the Bavli. Don't go there. Many Rishonim felt that way. Rabbeinu Chananel, if I'm not mistaken, it was him, he was novel in this regard. No. There was communication when they wrote the Yerushalmi and the Bavli. There was communication. Rav, especially Rav, he went back and forth between the two, and the other Amoraim that went back and forth. And we have a right to assume they're on the same page. They're trying to say the same thing. So therefore, if you don't know what it says in the Bavli, it's fair game to use the Yerushalmi as a perush on what it says in the Bavli. So Michal is making a very good point that I don't know. I don't know very much, but Rav Michal is saying that it does not appear that Rashi cannot ever quotes a Yerushalmi to explain a piece of Gemara.
Well, what about Tosfos?
Sometimes does he? Rarely. Sometimes.
It's not such a big gap between Tosfos and Rashi in terms of.
Right. So it could be there's a disagreement, a fundamental disagreement between the two, as to the role of the Yerushalmi in explaining the Bavli. Could very well be. Rashi cannot, ever quotes a Yerushalmi to explain a pshat in the Gemara. He'll quote Medrash, he'll quote Piyutim.
Only
the ones that he'll were authentic, and yeah. Piyutim. He quotes Piyutim, Rashi. He's not embarrassed to quote Piyutim half the time. A P doesn't have the status of Yerushalmi. A Pirus is from time of the Goinim. The Piyutim don't necessarily come from the time of the Tanoim and Amoraim. Even for Perush, he says a whole pshat in the Gemara, and he says, you want to see that I'm right? Look in the Piyut. The Piyut says pretty much what I say, so therefore that must be a pshat in the Gemara. So why did Rashi quote a Yerushalmi? Obviously, he held the Yerushalmi is off limits. The Yerushalmi is not relevant to the Bible. Because the Yerushalmi, it worked with a different mahalach. And don't bring it into the Bavli. And Rav Toledo, he said this, I will just review, he said this amazing, amazing yisrael, who you know, it was the whole state was Kedai just for that, is in Yerushalayim, Torah was with Nevuah. Torah was given b'Nevuah. And the learning was the opposite is to legitimize the Nevuah. It was Bimisoira, it was a place of prophets, and even though prophecy came to an end, it was still a hashpa min hashamayim of what is the halacha, what is the pshat, and they worked backwards to make sense, to make logic out of what the halacha is Bimisoira. In Bavel, it was mamish, just the opposite. In Bavel, you start ground, grassroots, pure logic. And you need siyata d'shmaya to be zoiche, that when you work with logic, Hashem should guide your mind to build the binyan, that you build binyan, that you reach to conclusion, la suke shmai, to leave the hilchasa, should be la mita shel Torah, according to the emes, according to what shemayim is acceptable. Completely different direction. Yerushalayim was a place of prophecy. It was handed down in Hashemayim of Yosef Cairo. The Malach came to Yosef Cairo every single night to teach him Torah, to teach him what they're learning in Shemayim. And that had influence upon him. This is the halacha. Because in Shemayim, they said that's the halacha. Now, we live on earth, and we have power to override, because we live on earth, and we have to make sense out of it. And if it doesn't make sense to us, so we can go and we can override what they say in Shemayim. But you're working with the foundation of something which comes, b'misoira, from Shemayim, just like prophecy comes straight out of Shemayim. And now we have to make sense out of it, so we work with mefalpel and Torah to put it down, l'halacha l'maisa. Not in Bavel. In Bavel, it's just the opposite. Grassroots, work your way up. Logic, 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 with Yir Shemayim, Siyat Shemaya, Lasuke Shemayim, Tzaliv Hilchasa, a binyan from ground up. The Gra threw away the Malach. Okay, the Gra, even though the Gra, or the Malach came to the Gra, what did the Gra say to the Malach? Go back where you came from. I'm not interested in you teaching me Torah. If you want, I'll teach you something. But don't come teach me anything. What's pshat? How come Rav Yosef Cairo learned with the Malach? He wrote a whole sefer on what the Malach taught him. And how come the Gra drove him out? It's pashut. Because Rav Yosef Cairo was living in Yerushalayim. It's what the Rav told you. It's perfect sense. He's living in Tzfas, all the Mekubalim. The whole Eretz Yisrael is a makom of nevuah. It's the makom of nevuah, of prophecy. Memela, that's the derech of Torah. Torah is min hashamayim. It comes down, it trickles down, and you work with it. You work with it, you mefalpel with it. Bavel, Talmud Bavli, b'machashakim, hayshivani kimesei oilam. Like the dead. There's no nevuah in the dark. Nevuah is lichtik, is light. It's logic. Pure logic with, of course, Yirah Shamayim to reach upwards. You don't have Malachim tell you what the halacha is. You tell the Malach what the halacha is. It's a completely opposite approach. So therefore, it makes sense that Rashi would completely reject anything that it says in the Yerushalmi. Because the Yerushalmi is not relevant. The Yerushalmi's derech of Talmud, of study, is just not. It doesn't work. You know, lahavil elif alfei avdalos. You can't go to the Apple store to download an app for your Android. And you can't go to the Google Play Store to download an app for your iPhone. Do you understand what I mean?
No.
No? Well, your grandchildren certainly do know what I mean. So ask your grandchildren to explain that to you. And then ask your grandchildren to explain that's the difference between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi.
Different systems.
Completely different. Completely different operating systems. They are not compatible. They're not compatible. Bavli, Yerushalmi are not compatible. Mimela? Rambam works with the Bavli. Rambam doesn't work with the Yerushalmi. No one works with the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi is not halacha. The Kesef Mishnah was written by Yosef Cairo. Yosef Cairo studied many years later. Yosef Cairo was not a Yerushalmi person. He lived in Yerushalmi Tzfas. He lived in the Malach. But Yosef Cairo, the Yerushalmi has very little relevance to halacha. All of the Bali halacha are building the Yisoides of halacha on the Talmud Bavli. Talmud Bavli is the foundation of halacha, period. Now, it is true that Yosef Cairo, later Paiskim, they brought in the Yerushalmi to also influence the halacha lemaisa. But the foundation, okay, let's talk about the foundation, the foundation of all the Bali halacha begins with the Yerushalmi. There's no such halacha that is founded, starts, grounds up, grassroots with the Yerushalmi. Halacha begins with Talmud Bavli. As you work your way up, the influence of the Yerushalmi comes in. as Rabbeinu Chananel was very proud to do. He wanted to a degree to synthesize the two, or to use the Yerushalmi as a way to be Masbid the Bavli. So according to him, Eina Chananel, the Yerushalmi comes in to help us reach a conclusion, but the foundation is still rooted in the Bavli. Okay, so this is what we learn over here in this. Rambam made a very good point. He doesn't quote going back to this Chazan. One more Chazan, we're getting out of time because we won't listen to the Pasuk. So we go to the next Pasuk tomorrow. This is a very, very beautiful Chazal. This next Chazal, and there's a lot to elaborate upon this, to study this in much more detail and to appreciate what this really, really means. Eser Yiridois Batoira. Unbelievable Chazal. 10 times in the Torah do we find Hashem descending to this world. And you can bet your bottom buck that that doesn't mean it's each Yerida represents Maisa of a similar banim. There are 10 times where Hashem is always here. We all know that. Hashem is here, Hashem is here, Hashem is truly everywhere. Right? Hashem is. But when Hashem is Yoreid, it means you see it, you feel it, you sense it. Your blood pressure goes up. It's there, it's tangible. When Hashem gave us the Torah, Hashem came down to this world. Hashem's always in this world. But it means we saw it. It was tangible. It was palpable. It was here, present. So just like Hashem came down to this world and we sensed it when Hashem gave us the Torah, Vayera Hashem Har Sinai, likewise, there are 9 other events in the Torah when Hashem came down. And He wasn't coming down to give Torah those other 9 times. He was coming down for a different reason. And each reason represents another facet, another dimension of the Ribbono Shel Olam, a revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And those revelations reoccur throughout history. When there's a tekufa, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us Torah again. What do we mean again? Purim. Purim wasn't Kabbalah HaTorah. Chazal say b'feirish. Hador kiblu b'mei HaChashverosh. Kimu v'kiblu, kim masha kiblu kvar. There was a revelation. Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai, once again during the time of Purim. That was a repeat of Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai. So likewise, the other 9 times when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down in the Torah, which capture a different dimension of Hashem's revelation, also reoccurs throughout history over and over again. So right over here, Eser Yeridos Vatayra Valkulam Achas Bekabola Leosilavo. Regarding all of them, there's one more concerning what's going to happen in the future in Mashiach. That's going to be number 10.
There are a lot of those theories where there's a set of 10, and the 10th one
is when Mashiach comes. Yeah. Like we learned this week, the Paraduma. Yes. There were 9 Paradumas created since the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, and the 10th will be when Mashiach comes.
A lot of it.
So here's another one. There were 9 times Hashem came down into this world, and one is also written, but it's written Al Shem Ha'osid. In the future, in time of Mashiach, will be another revelation of Hashem. The Al Kulon, regarding all of them, Achas Bikabolo Le'osid Lavoi. Regarding all of the 10, there is one that is going to take place in the future, and that is the pasuk that we just learned today. The pasuk we learned today is a prophecy. That's not yet happened. It will be the 10th revelation, the 10th time HaKadosh Baruch Hu descends to this world. And the psukim we're going to learn Mishnah tomorrow's Pasuk Dalid, these very frightening psukim. V'namas, according to this medrash, is a description of what's going to happen in the times of Mashiach. Okay, we'll stop here. 10th time, yeah.